Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, my name is Thomas Dinas, and this is the Delicious Legacy Podcast. I'm glad to have you back for another gastronomical adventure. This time we're not going to ancient Greece though, well, not per se technically, but I've chosen a subject close to my heart, still traditional and still time-honored, and of course this subject will come as no surprise to those of you who know me well personally, and of course won't come as a surprise to those of you who have read my posts on Patreon or on Twitter, and to those of you who have listened to the podcast regularly and generally listening to what's been happening in my head the past 16 months. And the subject relates to traditional feasts, of course, as it's near this time of the year for the Greek Orthodox Easter. As you may know, this Sunday, 2nd of May, is Easter. And that makes me very, very excited, to be honest. And because it's a time of celebrations and big feasts. And mainly, well, barbecue. Let's be honest here. That's one of my favorite endeavors in life, in general. Traditionally, Easter, of course, is a movable celebration. Hence, this year is 2nd of May. But since this is what exactly happening with the Catholic Easter, then why the Greek one falls so long after? What's going on here? Well, the Eastern Orthodox Easter is quite old school, let's say. It still follows the ancient Roman Julian calendar to calculate when the Easter Sunday is. And moreover, it has to fall after the Jewish Passover, as it's in the Easter story where Jesus celebrates Passover before his death. The date for Easter is set on the first full moon after the spring equinox. So whatever the historical or religious reasons, the fact remains that it's this Sunday and I'm very, very eager for it. And the reason, of course, for this is that I'll be making my favorite kebab, kokoreci. Today's episode is brought to you with the amazing support of Maltby & Greek, the UK's leading Greek delicatessen, supplier and distributor of premium Greek produce. Be it wine, herbs, cheeses or olive oil, from all over the wild corners of the country and working directly with small artisan producers. Why not try Alpha Estate Assyrtiko wine, a rich and complex white wine from the north of Greece, paired with some of the Kourounioti Graviera cheese, a spicy, balanced hard cheese from Peloponnese, made with sheep's and goat's milk from a small-scale dairy in the mountains of Arcadia. Or be more adventurous, why not try the Varoufakis Organic Smoked Siglino, smoked using olive wood and flavoured with pepper and cumin. Siglino is a pork meat that can be compared to French roulettes and is delicious spread onto toast, but also often used in omelettes, pasta, chickpea soup and risottos, and paired with an exceptional red wine like the Alpha Estate Red Syrah Merlot Xinomavro. Whatever your needs, Maltby & Greek has you covered. You can shop online and have the exquisite goods delivered to your doorstep across the UK, or you can visit the shop at Arch 17, Apollo Business Park, Lucy Way, SC16, 4ET, Bermondsey, London. Maltby & Greek, the one-stop shop for your Greek fix.
Jesus, venu, meden olos ylipuhu, prosolikon estitotsen, totelos ochronos apeti.
And this is what this episode is all about. Cocoretti and his various forms and guises all over, well, the Mediterranean, let's say, but as also it has been attested in antiquity. Greece and Rome, Byzantium, and also we'll see similar dishes all along the Mediterranean, at least ones that bear a resemblance to cocoretti, or made as an offal kebab, which is made with the entrails and the offal of usually sheep and goat and lamb. At least these are the most common animals which we use the offals for the cocoretti. Now, I totally understand. It isn't a very popular subject in the English-speaking world or in North Europe in general. But as a traditional food and a form of a dish that is popular, if not all over the rest of the world, at least in the Mediterranean, this is something worth exploring. And of course, if you're a fan of the nose-to-tail eating concept, then you should try it, or at least appreciate it, especially since the meat here in UK is both delicious and produced generally to the highest welfare standards. And of course, a third reason is that it's suitably expensive, meat in general here, so why not make use of the whole animal? It would be a shame not to use it. And talking about the rest of the world, I think there are many, many cultures that eat and celebrate intestines and offal and tripe and so on throughout Asia and Africa. But today, we will focus on the Eastern Mediterranean and the Balkans. And so, to our subject. Cocoretti is the ultimate kebab. The first love that lasts forever. It's delicious, it's bloody, and it requires patience and knowledge. And this is why I'm dedicating a whole episode for it. Real heroes don't wear capes. They make cocoretti. And for this reason, I will have to say thanks to my father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Harris. According to some sources, cocoretti was known to ancient Greeks. The so-called gardouba and plekti, which means knitted, has reference to Homeric epics. The method of preparation wasn't much different from today. To make cocoretti, they used to marinate the intestines in vinegar, water and honey. Presumably, vinegar acted as an antiseptic and dehydrated the intestines from fats, while honey created a caramelized crust when one was roasting the intestines. While lamb or goat was roasting on the spit, ancient Greeks dipped a branch of pine in juices of unripe grapes and unripe plums and brushed the meat with it, giving it a special taste of fruit and resin. The name cocoretti, many claim, is dating back at the Byzantine times, and it has roots and connotations throughout the Balkans, with the Albanians, Bulgarians and Turks claiming meaning on the different dialects and languages. That's something we cannot be sure, and we're not entirely sure where the word cocoretti comes from, or at least I haven't heard some credible explanations for it. But regardless of that, today the dish is very popular in the Turkish and Greek local cuisines. It used to be a very, very specific, like a Greek Easter dish, but now you can find it almost in every Greek taverna or grill house the whole year. And yeah, restaurants and tavernas, especially in central mainland Greece, but because in Stereia Ellada, or Roumeli as it used to be called, the meat is so important, you will find it there in tavernas all year round. And of course, needless to say that in my family, whenever there is a big celebration, we do make a cocoretti. So we will have it for Christmas. We will have a Christmas barbecue with our pork roasting on the spit, and we'll have some kokoreti on the other barbecue going on. And for Easter and for 1st of May, early May bank holiday or a big birthday and so on. Any excuse, basically, in my family to do kokoreti. What can I say? We like it. Anyway, let's go back a little bit to ancient Greece and see the connection of kokoreti and generally roasting meats in antiquity. The connection here is quite important because generally offal and intestines, they were considered part of the sacrificial rituals. Ancient Greeks were very religious and superstitious people, and they wanted always to ask the gods for a favor, and secondly to please them, so there would be some sacrifice. And usually the blood of the sacrificed animal was poured on the ground. Then the splachna, which is the vital organs, these organs were roasted, tasted by the participants in the sacrifice, and shared with the god. The offal will burn on the fire, because the burning of the fat and part of the offal gave a wonderful odor that they said it pleased the gods. And those usually eaten from humans were the liver and the heart, lungs and spleen, and according to some classifications, kidneys were also included in the feast. Of course, there's another explanation that the offal will burn for the gods and be charred and stuff. And people would eat the meat. But some people would come late to the ceremony, as you would find people always do. They tend to be late. So there wouldn't be any meat left. So they would have to eat the offal. And they found that if you started wrapping them with the intestines on a spit, and then they found that they created the most tasty meze of all times. And even today, especially today, I mean, if you ever meet a Greek feast, Easter feast especially, when the kokoreti cooks over the fire, fills the air with the most God-pleasing aroma. In Rome, an approximate Latin equivalent is exta, which denotes in Roman sacrifice were used in making predictions. In ancient Greek sacrificial practice, the animal was killed at an altar. A share was offered to the god, the splachna were tasted, a share was reserved to the magiros, which is the cook sacrificer, or the priest, if the priest was officiating. And the offal were retained and in due course cooked, and of course often sold to the people coming into the ceremony. Most of the rest of the muscle meat was shared equally among the participants, but you would find that as it's been quoted in a proverb by Plutarch, who was a big ancient Greek writer, and we have lots of books survived from him, and he was also a priest in Delphi. He was saying that after sacrificing at Delphi, you must buy your own meat for dinner, which probably means that the shrines were very busy and the priests were eating, and any chance arrivals were coming, they were nearly taking all the meat that one was sacrificing. In contrast to the Greek religious superstition, Roman sacrifices were made for two main reasons. Principally, in a big religious calendar date, and so to observe a religious calendar, and to ascertain the will of the gods concerning a crucial decision. Skilled seers did the sacrifice by examining the animal's liver and other vital organs after sacrifice. The sharing of the remaining meat among the participants, as in the Greek sacrifice, was an important matter. Now, the main problem for Greek and Roman gastronomes was that the meat, as we know, is not at its best for eating immediately after the slaughter. And Plutarch, again, discusses how this problem might be alleviated by hanging the meat briefly in a fig tree before cooking. Of course, what's another solution? What tastes the best when fresh? Offal and entrails, of course. Pig's liver cooked between two dishes. It's mentioned by Aristophanes in Thesmophoriazuse. It could also be roasted whole, wrapped in coal fat, and appeared on menus under the name of bashful liver, perhaps because it hid in its wrappings. Well, according to some sources, obviously I cannot verify them myself, if they're real or not, two ancient Greek actors made name for themselves as meat eaters. One was a woman, Aglaïs, who could eat 10 pounds of meat at a sitting, washed down with 6 jugs of wine. Her colleague, Thangon, astonished the emperor Aurelian by consuming before his eyes a whole wild boar, sheep, pig, and sucking pig, and drinking the contents of a cask of wine with them. The emperor Maximus himself, a colossus, kept up his strength by eating 40 pounds of meat a day. Again, I think some people's love for barbecue and roasted meat in general, it can be quite excessive, and I don't condone it. Moving later on in the Byzantine Empire, the Allantopole, who were the sellers of meat, they also sold horde and hordrokilitsa, preparations made using the intestines, stomachs, lungs and liver, mainly of sheep, something like our modern-day gardouba or kokoretsi. Throughout the Balkans and Anatolia, which were the core of the Eastern Roman Empire, or Byzantium as we know it, that's what's today the countries of Greece, Turkey, Albania, and so on, they used the small intestine of sheep and goats, which was obviously thoroughly cleaned first, and then was cooked as plectin, which means twisted, or coiled around pieces of meat and entrails, and then put on the spit to make a type of kokoretsi.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we do have a few dishes from antiquity and Byzantium, over 1,000 years ago. That gives us a type of proto-kokoretsi, the story behind it, how it was used, how the entrails were used, and how it was made. Now let's see a modern traditional dish from Sardinia, which is called satrataglia. And Satardalia is a typical dish of the Sardinian agropastoral tradition, where all the entrails of the lamb are used. This seems to be more of the real flavor of Sardinia, which doesn't appear so much from the famous porchetto, the traditional suckling pig that is slowly roasted over open flame, and it's something that Sardinia is famed for. But much more emerges from Satardalia, a recipe that even tastes like history with its hearty ingredients and strong flavors. Apparently, throughout the island, you can find different variants of Satardalia, but the most recognizable is the recipe that comes from one of Sardinia's northeastern areas, Ogliastra. The ingredients include the heart, lung, liver, spleen, and small intestine, and caul fat. They also serve slices of pork fat and slices of bread along with it. In general, lamb entrails are always used for this dish. Basically, all these pieces are left over from the slaughter of the sheep and would be otherwise discarded. So instead, the entrails are roasted on a spit tied with the intestine of the lamb itself. But first, it is wrapped in a layer of fat. How to make Satardalia? Satardalia it takes time to make, because the entrails must be carefully washed first with vinegar. If you want to, you can leave them soak in vinegar for a few minutes. Soak in vinegar and warm water. Then each portion of meat must be cut evenly and no larger than the palm of your hand. Take the spit and put a slice of lard on, followed by the heart, the lung, then the liver, and finally the spleen. Then you start again in the same pattern, perhaps alternating a piece of bread with each block. Once you have finished the entrails, take the small intestine and weave it around the meat using the caul fat as sort of a narrow net called sanapa in Sardinian dialect. At the end of this phase, you can put it on the spit over the flame for about 2 hours, turning slowly. After cooking the meat, salt it, and Satardalia is ready. And you get a dish with a robust taste and aroma that should be served hot, resting on large slices of bread to absorb the fat and flavor of the roast and juniper twigs. This sounds to me so similar to kokoreci and makes me very excited, because I haven't heard it before. And finding about it and finding how they do it in Sardinia in a very, very similar manner, and their look and appearance looks pretty much like what we do in Greece. It just, it's amazing how food and this traditional, robust dishes bring cultures together. Another Italian delicacy that resembles cocoreci is tornicelli, which is stuffed lamb intestines originating from Molise. A suckling lamb's entrails are first cleaned with salt and water, and then they are left to soak for at least 1 day with a few changes of water. The stomachs and sweetbreads are cleaned and chopped, then transformed into a filling with carrots, onions, and parsley. This combination of stuff is then stuffed into the intestine, tortinello, which is cooked, chopped, and used to make a hearty sauce with tomatoes, onions, basil, and parsley. The sauce is served over homemade pasta, especially fusilli. However, the tortinello can also be grilled whole over coals. And in Palermo, in Sicily, there's another dish called stigiola, which is a staple street food consisting of lamb, goat, or chicken intestines that are skewered or wrapped around onions or leeks. And these prepared skewers are then grilled, served cut into small bite-sized pieces. Originally developed as a frugal meal, stigiola nowadays represents an authentic local specialty. The dish is sold by street vendors, by the way, who are found at various local markets. When served, stigiola is served hot with lemon wedges. I want to go to Turkey now and talk about kokoreç, which is a delicious food that is made from lamb sweetbread, small intestine, and large intestine. After all the ingredients cleaned and rinsed, it is wrapped into cast iron skewer and then cooked on charcoal grill. Once it cooks on charcoal fire, it is served with bread or on a plate with various spice seasonings. Kokoreç is widely consumed in Turkey, Azerbaijan, and other Turkic countries. There's no specific evidence when it was first found and involved in Turkish cuisine. As I said, it was eaten throughout the Byzantine Empire, and Anatolia was part of that, and now it's part of Turkey, so people continue with this tradition, I guess. And the crucial difference between the Turkish and the Greek one is that in Turkey they only use the small intestine, the large intestine, and the sweetbread to make it. No other additional ingredients. Still a tasty and tasting delicious delicacy on every street corner in Istanbul. The Greek kokoreçi is pretty much associated with the culture of the shepherds and animal husbandry, and by the trade that always these people used to earn the livelihoods. And of course, these people, they savored meat of any kind. And kokoreçi was so important in Rumeli, and meat in general, as I said. And there is the funny story that after the beef scare in Britain, the mad cow disease in the 1990s, when the European Union banned the sale of offal from animals more than a year old, there was a big uproar in Greece at the time. And I think it was a few months before Easter when all this tragedy happened, and there was such a strong public outcry where Greeks, they didn't want to lose their kokoreçi, so basically, apparently, it didn't pass in Greece. So we still eat kokoreçi all over Greece for our traditional Easter table. Now, the general recipe that I want to share with you for kokoreçi, how we make it in Greece and in my family at least, is the following. So for an iron skewer, which is about 70-75 centimeters long, you will need about 2 kilos of plak, which by plak we denote the lung, liver, heart of the animal. So you'll need about 2 kilos of that, about 2.5 to 3 kilos of intestines cleaned, and about 600 to 700 grams of sweetbreads, and 2 small lamb's caul fat. You'll make a mixture of salt and seasoning. I usually use salt, pepper, and some traces of any other kind of herb and spice that you like. So a tiny bit of cumin, a pinch of mustard, a tiny bit of basil or dry basil or dry mint, and lots of oregano, of course. So what we do is, obviously, we first clean the intestines. Only 3 times, we wash them only 3 times inside. It doesn't need any more. And definitely you don't need to turn the inside out, because this is makes them slippery and difficult to handle, and you're losing all the fat in the fire when it's been roasted. So you're losing all the flavor of it. Wash it in the sink, warmish water, 3 times, clean it 3 times inside. And then for the liver, heart, lung, and sweetbreads, we cut them in equal pieces, in pieces of equal size, after, of course, we wash them. And then we are seasoning them very well with the mixture. It's about, 4 teaspoons of the mixture of herbs and salt that we have for the lungs, liver, and heart, and about 1.5 teaspoons for the sweetbreads. And then, of course, you make sure you put it slowly and you keep mixing, so the salt and the seasoning will go in all our mix. And then you take your iron skewer and you start by putting a piece of heart at the bottom, sweetbread, liver, sweetbread, lung, sweetbread, liver, sweetbread, and every now and then a piece of heart. You continue with this combination, and then you finish at the very end with another piece of heart. You make sure it's nice and tight, so you kind of squeeze slightly and gently the whole kebab together, all the pieces together, so they are tight. And then you have your col fat, which you have dipped in warm water, so you are able to open it like a net, like a very fine, thin, see-through net. And you can wrap your cucurecci around it. So once you have this protective net around the liver, lung, and sweetbreads, then it's time to put the intestines on. You wrap it around the intestines, and it's ready for the barbecue. On the barbecue, usually this long, charcoal barbecues, we put about 5 kilos of charcoal for it, and the cockroach will be ready at maximum 2.5 hours. Probably needs less, like 2 hours max usually. But the clue is that you will see it kind of getting foamy, like boiling, and gets foamy on the outside. That means when that piece of our long kebab is ready. Yeah, when it's ready, when you see it, it's ready and it's foamy. And if you want, you can leave it a few more minutes in a lower scale, nearer to the charcoal, so you can give it a bit of color if you want to give it a nice color, crispy and colored intestines. And then once that's ready, you wrap it in foil and you put it out, you take it out of the fires because you don't want it to be too dry. Right, and I will leave you with a lovely recipe from Sally Granger, who is an expert in ancient Roman cooking. And this is one of her favorite recipes from Apicius, our lovely, fantastic gourmet from ancient Rome. This recipe is included in her book, The Classical Cookbook. And what she says is that for her, this confirms the notion that the Roman slave cooks were skilled in their craft of producing great food, combining flavors, and making exceptionally fine food. This recipe is for stuffed kidneys, and of course, kidney is quite strongly flavored compared to the other offal. But the mixture of fennel seed and coriander, it's a very good match for it. So the ingredients are 2 level teaspoons of fennel seed, a generous amount of freshly ground black pepper, a large handful of fresh coriander, 100 grams of pine kernels, 8 lamb kidneys, enough col fat to cover all the kidneys, 1 tablespoon of fish sauce, and olive oil to fry. So the instructions are: dry roast the fennel and grind to a fine powder with the pepper. Put this with the coriander and pine kernels in a food processor and process until a firm paste is formed. Do not overmix at this stage, or the oil in the nuts will leach out and make the stuffing oily. Cut each kidney almost in half, leaving a little flesh to hold them together. Remove their cores. Fill each cleaned kidney with a generous amount of stuffing and fold the two halves back together. Wrap each kidney in the col fat to secure the stuffing. Trim any excess. Shallow fry in a little olive oil to seal and brown the col fat, and then roast in medium oven, 190 degrees, until well done. Sprinkle a little fish sauce over them in the dish. Slice the whole kidneys in 2 to 3 pieces and serve hot with warm bread. Don't forget to add the juices from the pan. They are super tasty. Alternatively, cut the kidneys in half completely, place stuffing in the hollow, and wrap each piece in col fat so the stuffing is secure. Thread them on a skewer and cook them on the barbecue until crisp and well done. And that's the Apicius recipe for stuffed kidneys, on the barbecue or in the oven. Fantastic. Right, and that's all for today's short bonus episode about my favorite and many, many Greeks' favorite Easter meze, kokoretsi. I hope I gave you a small idea and some inspiration on how to cook with offal. And seriously, the taste is really, really good. And the flavor and quality of the British lamb and goat are incredible. You will be missing out if you don't try some of that. I mean, let's be honest, even Zeus, the leader of the gods, rushed down from Mount Olympus to taste mankind's barbecue. After, of course, he gave them the gift of fire. So, who are you to doubt a god? And in fact, Zeus. Thanks for listening. Right. At this point, I would love to thank all my Patreon backers and their contribution to make this podcast happening. And I hope you enjoy your Easter weekend or your 1st of May bank holiday Monday weekend. And yeah, if the weather is allowing it, why not try and cook something with a barbecue? Something awful in the barbecue. I would like especially to give thanks to Richard Bignall and his studio Area 18 in North Acton, West London, because he gave me access to record my vocals in his studio. So thank you, Richard, if you're listening. And thank you all. Thank you. Thanks. And thanks to the rest of you for listening. I've been Thomas Dinas, and this is the Delicious Legacy Podcast. Have a lovely weekend. Bye. Προς ολίγον εστί το τζέν, το τέλος ο χρόνος απαιτεί.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.